If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of John chapter 4. We're so humbly honored to be able to preach tonight. We thank the Lord for this invite. This is the church that I grew up in. I was born at Holston Valley Hospital, and Mom took me out of the hospital to bring me down to the house of God. Amen. She said, the first place we're going to go is the church. Amen. And she took me to church, and I grew up in this church under Pastor Jack Sturgill. And let's go ahead and read. This is so awesome. John chapter 4, you've heard this before. And we're going to read verses 3 through 30. And I promise you, we're not going to preach on all these verses. We're really going to zero in on one key verse. But let's get the whole word here. In John chapter 4, verse number 3, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, that thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee, am He. And upon this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto Him. I tell you, isn't that wonderful whenever we read this? I know God always has a plan. He has a purpose for everything He's doing. Nothing really catches God by surprise, because Pastor mentioned there Monday night about the attributes of God. You know, omnipotent, omniscience, and omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. There's no limits to what God can do. Things surprise us. Things catch us by surprise. But God had a plan. And I remember some years ago, I was here when Pastor Travis Bowen preached a message titled, She Was Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. There's a message I think Preacher Jack preached on titled, The Woman at the Well. But I want to show you a different approach tonight. The Lord revealed this to me, and I can't help but preach it. It's burning so heavily on my heart. But in verse number 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? In reading this, this isn't a message, but in introduction fashion, I want to show you that she underestimated, according according to her statement, she underestimated his reach. She said this in verse number 11. She said, "Thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep." I tell you, ain't you glad that we serve a God today that there's nothing out of his reach tonight? I thank God. As a matter of fact, God specializes in retrieving things out of deep pits. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 40, verse number 2, "And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." I'm glad that he reached a lot further down than I could ever reach up. She underestimated his reach, but he came to reach out to her, amen. He could reach it. He could get her, amen. He could change her life. A lot of people said, "I've gone low in morals. I'm stooped in sin. I'm low in the pit of sin and despair." But thank God, he could reach down to where you are tonight. He could reach down to where you are tonight. My good friend, Brother Fred Weston, used to sing a song up here titled, "When He Reached Down His Hand for Me." Oh, when he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or a son. When he reached down his hand for me. Ain't you glad for his reach tonight? Romans 5:6 said, "For when you were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Amen. Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, when we were weak, when we were at our lowest, God had us in mind. Amen. Oh, never underestimate his reach. There was one preacher said there was an old grave dug out, and the old drunk fell in that old pit one night, staggering around, and he tried to get out and couldn't. And he just rested against the wall of that pit. And another fella came around, fell in that pit, and started trying to claw his way out. And all of a sudden he heard a voice saying, "You might as well quit. There's no way out." That fella got out of that pit. Amen. But you know what? There ain't no way you can get out of the pit of sin under your own power. There's no way you can get out of that pit with enough do-good stuff. There's no pedigree. I tell you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somebody said, "I don't know if he can reach over here. I don't know if he can reach over there." Never underestimate his reach. He can reach you. Amen. I thank God for that. Secondly, she underestimated his relevance. Look at verse number 12. "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" If only she knew. If only she knew who he was. Oh, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Amen. You know, I am. Who do you say that I am? They said, "Some say thou art Elijah. Some say that thou art Isaiah the prophet." But he said, "Who do you say that I am?" They said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's who he is. Listen to what Jesus said of himself. Matthew 12:42. "The queen of the south shall rise up in Jerusalem with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, of who greater than Solomon is here." In Luke 11:32, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Amen. Praise God. That's who he is. I tell you, that's who he is. And you know, in John 1:46, Philip went and got Nathanael. Said, "Come over here. I want you to see somebody." Nathanael said to him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Oh, they'd spend the rest of their lives coming and seeing that he is who he says he is. And he's not just good, my friend. He's great. He's great. The Bible said in Psalm 14:3, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." But Mark 10:18 said, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God." He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one." Somebody said, "Was he good?" I believe he came to born a perfect birth, live the perfect life, and died a perfect death. I believe that with all my heart. He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And he had some inspections along the way. He was the one who John the Baptist pointed at. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And for him to be able to be the Lamb of God, he had to be the Lamb without spot and without blemish. Amen. And he went all the way before Calvary. Pilate gave a little inspection. He said, "I find no fault in this man." Amen. He died the just for the unjust. Somebody said, "Is that good?" I think it's better than good. I think he's great. Amen. Is he greater than Isaiah? Yes. Is he greater than Jonah? Yeah. Is he greater than Elijah? Yeah. Is he greater than Moses? Yeah. Because there ain't no name under the sun that can save your soul other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. That's Bible. She underestimated his relevance, and then she underestimated his resources. In John chapter 4, verse number 11, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." Hey, do you think that's the case tonight? "Sir, thou hast nothing." You think you come here tonight and you're going to leave because God's bankrupt? Because the Lord ain't got nothing for you. He don't think about you. There's a Samaritan woman nobody seemed to care about. But he was there that day. And I'm going to tell you this. She didn't see very much when she saw him. That's the way the world does us, Ralph. They don't see very much about the church. They don't see very much about the Word of God. They don't see very much about prayer. They said, "You ain't got nothing." But you know what? They're wrong. He's got it all. Amen. Think about him tonight. Exodus 19 verse 5 says, "For all the earth is mine." Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Psalm 50 verses 10 and 11, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." He fed Elijah, amen, with ravens. There's nothing God can't do. He owns it all. I remember Preacher Jack always say he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills about every service, didn't he? He talked about how rich God is, but not just on and all that, but he's rich in love. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. Somebody say, "Well, I've come tonight." What kind of resources does he have? Well, I'll tell you, if you're lost, he has salvation. If you're sad, he has joy. If you are weak, he has strength. If you're hungry, he has meat to eat thereof you know not of. If you're thirsty, he has that water. If you're naked, he has raiment. If you're discouraged, he has encouragement. I tell you, all I need, I find in him. All I need, I find in Jesus. I want to share with you something the Lord put on my heart. She came to quench a natural thirst. He came to quench a spiritual thirst. She came to a well provided by man, but he brought her a well provided by God. She thought he needed her help to get water. He knew she needed his help to get water. She came to draw water. He came to draw a woman. She came to draw a temporary fulfillment, but he came to give her eternal fulfillment. Now I want to focus. Now that's just the preliminary. Right here we go. Here's verse number 11. "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." That's the title for my message tonight. Thou hast nothing to draw with. That just jumped out at me, brother. I tell you, God was showing me the other stuff. He said, "We got to hit a home run on this because I got something to draw with." She perceived I had nothing to draw with. But did he have something to draw with? Well, John 6:44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day." I want to tell you, if we're going to see people saved, we must first understand that people needs to be drawn. And whenever he comes to try to get her to realize her need, he came to draw her. And she looked at him and said, "Thou hast nothing to draw with." Well, let me tell you, I want to share with you 5 things tonight with the help of the Lord, of things he uses to draw us with. Amen. Number one, He draws with His schoolmaster. He draws with His schoolmaster. Somebody said, what does that mean? In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But before we come to Christ, we got to understand that we are sinners. We'll never see the need for a Savior until the Word of God reveals to us that we are lost, dead in our trespasses and sins. Somebody said, well, how does that do that? The law exposes sin. Whenever you study Exodus chapter 19, you see how the people said to God, we'll do what your word is, we'll obey. Then Moses went up and God gave him the Ten Commandments, and then on his way down, he found him in the valley, already in idolatry. Isn't that sad? Then you get over to Romans chapter 7, says, what shall we say then? In verse number 7, is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. That's what he said, didn't he? Didn't know sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. That's why preachers preach and call sin by name. Amen. Because it brings about the drawing of us to God. Because we can't keep it. We can't be good enough. We ain't perfect. We're bent in sin. The psalmist said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was witnessing to a patient today. And she was talking about, I'd like to get to God. I said, well, when I came to the Ballad, Holston Valley Medical Center today, I didn't park at Holston Medical Group, the glass building, and say I pulled up at Ballad. No, I went all the way. Amen. Got all the way in the Ballad, Holston Valley Medical Center. And if you're going to come to God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You'll never arrive in heaven short. You'll always come up short in sin. And the law is our schoolmaster to let us let sin be revealed in our lives. Somebody said, well, has anybody ever been justified by keeping the law? You know why they haven't? Because nobody could keep it but one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He came to fulfill the law. Amen. And listen, Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There was a rich young ruler who came to Christ, and Christ said in Mark 10:19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he replied in verse number 20, he answered and said to him, Master, all these things I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, I love this, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for what? He had great possessions. He said, I've done all these things in the law. He said, that's fine, sell all that stuff and follow me. And he went away grieved because he loved his possessions more than he loved Christ. I tell you, if we're honest today, if we'd really let the Lord examine us and reveal things in our lives, we'd all be on the altar. Oh, we're weak. Oh, this flesh is bent in sin. There was only one command in the Garden of Eden. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's what introduced sin. They disobeyed God and ate of that tree that God forbid. And somebody said, a lot of people get hung up on the Ten Commandments, but if you try to keep the law, there's much more than that, isn't there, brother? And it just reveals sin. I get in the Word of God, and it's like a mirror, the Bible said. And it shows us where we're sinners. It shows us where we fall short. And it shows us something very important. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus took the handwriting of ordinances that had condemned us to death and nailed it to His cross. Colossians 2:13 said, and you being dead, that's me and you, you being dead in trespasses and sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. I tell you, I'm thankful that truth is preached, because when truth is, the psalmist said, the words of thy law are very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. Well, we think we're pretty good fellas if we listen to motivational speakers and if we listen to concerts. But if we listen to what thus saith the Lord, he said, this is what I expect. And we cry, we can't keep it. We need something. And God said, I got what you need right here. I thank God for that. He can nail it to his cross, the handwriting of ordinances that is against us. Now, in closing this point out, and this is the weightiest point there is, but in John chapter 4, our text, verses 16 through 18, Jesus said unto the woman of Samaria, or her, he said, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. Make no mistake about it. Jesus was drawing this woman at the well by reminding her of her sinful life. He knew about it. She might have tried to sweep it under the rug, but you might have come in here today, done some shady stuff, cussed, cheated, robbed somebody. I don't know what you done. Deceived somebody. You might have been jealous of something. You might have gossiped, might have been bitter. And you think, well, they don't know about it, but God knows about it. God knows about it, my friend. And she saw the side of God where he said, I know you're a sinner. And you know what? What he revealed to her caused her to drop her water pot. Caused her to go into that city and say this, come see a man in verse 29, which told me all things that ever I did. He draws with his schoolmaster. Secondly, he draws with his story. I like what Pastor Vinoy says. Pray for him tonight as he's in the revival meeting. Amen. Pray that God will stir souls. But he said, if you ever have a struggle, he said, go take your text and run to Calvary. Amen. And it never gets old, the old story of how Jesus went to the old rugged cross and died for the sins of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, yea, woe is unto me. What? If I preach not the gospel. Well, if we're going to preach the gospel, we better know what the gospel is. And he told us in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 through 4, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good news. I remember hearing about Mr. Tilly going to schools and teaching people about the Lord. And then Brother Ekstrom, Joel Ekstrom's dad at Kingsport Christian School would come. And Mr. Ekstrom would sing, good news, God's word is true. Good news, God died for you. Good news, I'll live eternally. That's wonderful, extra good news. And as a little kid, he began to explain the good news, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Why did he go to Calvary? Because I couldn't get to God. But he made a way, amen. Whenever you study there was a lamb that had to die, but Jesus was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He died once and for all for the sins of the world, amen. And he rose again on the third and glorious day, and he presented the sacrifice before the Father, and it cries out for mercy on the mercy seat of God. And he loves you. He don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. In my office was one of my favorite pictures. It's where he said, I loved you this much, and he stretched out his arms and died. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's all about him. Somebody said, this Bible is a history book. It's all about his story, amen. And I want to share his story with the lost and dying world. Why? Because it's a drawing story. It's a wooing story. It's a precious story. It's a story. It's a love story, amen. I like it, don't you? And it never gets old. It never gets old. It's a light of the glorious gospel that we ought to shine. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. I believe Pastor Vinoy preached about knocking out the darkness, amen, with that light. 2 Corinthians 4:3-6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. Then Romans 10:14-18, this is shared a lot during Pastor Appreciation Month. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Have you told his story to somebody this week? Have you told his story to a coworker or a friend or somebody that you come in contact? I work in the hospital. I have a captivated audience. And while they're sitting there moaning, I said, are you about ready? They're trying to, you know, get motivated. I said, boy, we had a good revival meeting Monday night. While they're sitting there getting motivated, I try to share his story with them. And it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? I believe God put me in a mission field, don't you? Your neighborhood's a mission field. It's okay to send missionaries to Africa. And I love that brother. I listen to him preach on the YouTube broadcast. But what are we doing in our mission field? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed their report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Hey, share his story. Share the gospel. Share Jesus Christ with him. Thirdly, not only does he draw with his schoolmaster, not only does he draw with his story, he draws with his spirit. I believe that. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 16:8-11, and when he, which is the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of what? Sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, whenever you study John 15:26, you see that the Holy Spirit will bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and not himself. You know what he does? He takes you back to his story. Who's him? Jesus' story. He takes you to him, and he woos you, and he draws you, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts you. You know, somebody said, what is that? That's one of the most powerful instruments that is used by God to draw the sinner to salvation. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But what does it say? And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Can you remember when the Holy Spirit came your way and told you of your need for the Savior? I was at this church hearing Pastor Jack Surgill preach a message. It wasn't directly on hell, but it had parts about hell in that and a lot about the love of Jesus Christ in it. And I remember going away. I'd made a profession as a 5-year-old boy, but I didn't pray and ask the Lord to forgive me. I didn't do any of that. I'd listen to everybody pray, and when they said amen, I got up and said, hey, I got saved. But I didn't. And God was troubling my heart as a 12-year-old boy. And I went out of this church service after hearing the message. I couldn't audibly hear Preacher Jack Surgill's voice anymore, but I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart. And he troubled me, and he convicted me, and he was wooing me, and he was calling me to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? There's a little girl. She's not too little anymore. I think she's about 20 years old. She had came to Vacation Bible School. And along about the third or the fourth night, she said, I need to talk to Brother Brian. And they got me. And we went in there. Paul and I listened to little Grace. She said, I left, and I couldn't get over it. She said, The voice of God was speaking to me and want me to get saved. And I said, that's the Holy Spirit showing you Jesus. And she said, I want to get saved right now. She got saved. You ask her about that. When you go through at this Pals on John B., you say, are you Grace? Say, tell me about it. she'll tell you she heard him speak to her. And I tell you, you know, anybody that's saved will say they felt the convicting, drawing power of God through the working of the Holy Spirit in their life. And he's still working. You might be sitting here saying, oh, he's been chewing me up on the inside and I've been putting it off. But you know what? Why don't you just do when he draws you? Just throw up the white flag of surrender and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be the best thing that ever happened in your life. Fourthly, he draws with his soul winners. You know, in John 21, verse number 6, Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast their forth, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Whenever they were casting their nets, they were trying to draw in the fish, draw in a catch. And Jesus called nearly half of his disciples from the shores of Galilee who were professional fishermen. And he said this in Mark chapter 1, verses 17. Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Brother Jason was at revival Monday night. And whenever Pastor was nearing the end, he said, Brother Jason won't be here Tuesday night because he'll be gone fishing. But maybe he'll be back later on in the week. And he said, I want to explain. He's not fishing at the lake. He's fishing after me. And amen. Ain't that good that God puts inside of us the soul-winning desire to lead people to Christ, to share what Jesus has done in their life so that they too would believe and be saved. Share Jesus with the world. I think about that. And you know, it's not just for pastors. At the end of the revival Monday night, I wanted to share with the church there that God has been working on my heart. Pastor Vinoy's been praying for the literature, the tracts to be given out. And he says, I have a burden. And he's right. Brother Ralph, whenever I was helping a good shepherd and the pastor would show up, or the assistant pastor, which I was trying my best to help Pastor Rob as assistant pastor, people would kind of be like, I'm not too impressed. But when a just average run-of-the-mill church member, which you ain't just an average run-of-the-mill, you're a God, blood-bought child of God. You're as important as anybody else because it took the same blood to save you as it did me. But they'll somehow listen to a church member, a congregant, more than they will us. And if you study some of the old revivals, a lot of the people that were getting saved and getting stirred, it came from these little widows and these little old ladies praying in these little cottage prayer meetings before the meeting, agonizing with God and inviting the neighbors and inviting the people down the street to come on down and hear about God. And God was moving in a mighty way. And I pray God will give us that burden for a lost and dying world. My wife and kids sing a song, how will we reach a world we never touch? And we're not supposed to go in there and do what sinners do, but we're to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody said, are we all preachers? We are to proclaim. We're to do that, ain't we, brother? To share Jesus with the lost and dying world. You can proclaim it. Somebody said, there ain't much I can do. God didn't call me to preach. Well, there's plenty you can do. You can do a plenty. You can pray. You can read your Bible. You can go out and invite people to church. You can tell people about Jesus. You can rally the troops. Women can train their daughters. Men can train their sons. And I'll tell you this, I've trained my daughters. And my wife, if we had a son, would have trained him. But God saw fit to give me 3 daughters. I asked the Lord to let me ride around with a car full of women one day when I was young. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And he gave me 3 daughters, no son. I said, God answered my prayer request. If I wanted a boy and a girl, I shouldn't ask to ride around with a car full of women. He gave me. But he'll draw, amen, through soul winning. Lastly, he draws with sympathy. Verse 4 of John 4, he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. He saw her as an outcast, unwanted and unloved, but he had compassion on her anyway. She had 5 husbands and she was living with a man, but she had never been loved by anyone like she was loved by Jesus. I'm going to tell you, amen, ain't you glad? He took a detour, but he had already planned this route. He had a need, amen, to meet her. I love that. Long before this woman ever got to the well, God looked ahead in time and saw her need for the Savior. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:19, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, or put His love on display, His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you, amen, amen, He loved us. He loved us. You know, a lot of times whenever He looked on the crowd, the Bible said He was moved with compassion. That's the way I want to see people, like Jesus sees them. There's this one commercial where they do this thing where this guy's selling insurance, and they shake their head because he's like, don't say the obvious. Don't say the obvious. We all see whenever they're stooped in sin. We see when they're struggling. I like how Pastor Benoit said, don't step on them when they're down. We need to show Christ to them. He came to them when they were down. There was people, they were bringing harlots to Him. They were bringing people in the very act of sin. And He was a forgiving Savior. If you'll come to Him, He has a history of forgiving people and using people with a history. David sinned, but he was a man after God's own heart. But yet, remember this, David said his sin was ever before him. I like what Brother Benoit said the other night. Sometimes he wished he hadn't done some things in life that he wouldn't have. He said, you may not see the physical scars, but I have scars that we bear. And if you're here and you're young and God's been working on your heart, don't say, I want to wait to experience the world. Why don't you experience the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He's the best friend you'll ever have. He loves you. The devil doesn't love you. You know what the devil is? He's the accuser of the brethren. He's going up saying, look how awful he is. Look how thoughtful. Look how bad they are. Look what all they done. And Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's in a pursuit after the lost today. And I'm glad He's in the drawing mood. Amen. He's drawing people left and right. And He uses His schoolmaster, don't He? He uses His spirit, don't He? He uses His sympathy. He uses the soul winners. He uses His story. Brother Squire Parsons wrote a song, and it goes like this. The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord, it was so vast, a crossing I could never ford. From where I was to His domain, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where You are. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and He drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet love I now abide. The chorus goes like this. He came to me. Oh, He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. That's why He died on Calvary. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. I say praise His holy name tonight. Isn't God good? Isn't God great? I tell you, greater than Elijah's here. Amen. Are you greater than Jacob? He's greater than... Did He have something to draw with? He had something to draw with. And He'll draw, amen. And we went to Freddy's there the other night. God said, you take that and you give it to that lady at the cashier. Well, there's a lady at the cashier, and Brother Michael, my son-in-law, say, he gave it to her and she received it. And I said, I'd like to see you come down the Bible way. Let's do our best to share the gospel. Let's do our best to share Jesus. I thank God for a mom that has a burden. I've never seen anybody pray for my nieces and nephews, her grandchildren, like she prays for them. And they know she loves them. They know she's concerned about them. And every now and then you may think, well, may not do any good. But God's faithful. In His time, God's faithful. And let's keep on praying. And let's co-labor together for the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet, and we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Brother Jason asked me